A very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. It's the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and on the show this week, we talk about Meals on Wheels and about a historic walk in Ballybunion. But first up, I took a trip out to the Franciscan Friary in Killarney. Brother Florian, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you. Thank you for talking to me, David.
So you're a Franciscan friar. Can you tell me what the difference is between a friar and someone I'm more used to meeting would be a priest?
Right. Most people confuse monks and friars especially. And then most people think that all friars and all monks are priests. But first, the difference between a monk and a friar is that as a monk, you stay at the monastery in one place for the rest of your life, whereas friars constantly move around. Both with monks and with friars, not everyone is a priest. We have brothers, lay brothers, and we have priests with different tasks, but we are all equal.
That's very interesting. Are you a lay brother?
Now I'm in my second year of formation. The first year was called postulancy. That took place in Austria, in Tyrol, which is about getting to know life in a friary, and also, of course, the brothers getting to know us. And now I'm in the second year, called novitiate, which is the canonical year and the most important one. And afterwards, God willing, I will take my first vows and promise that I will stay for another year with the order. But the international novitiate takes place in Ireland. That's why we live here in an international community with novices from other provinces.
So you're from Switzerland originally. Can you tell me about what drew you to being a friar while you were living in Switzerland?
That's a good question, yeah, because my first vocation was to be a teacher. I have two teachers in my family, and I studied history, the Middle Ages, medieval history, and English literature and English linguistics at the university in Switzerland, and then went into teaching at college for 15 years. I was also a lecturer at teacher training college. But at the back of my mind, there's always been the question of my second vocation of religious life, not so much the priesthood, but living in a monastery or in a friary. And since there's an age guillotine, you can only join an order, at least in Switzerland, until the age of 45. So age 40, I had to think about it and listen to God's call. And I told myself, okay, I just have to live for 1 week at least in a friary or in a monastery. And I did. I first lived with the Capuchins, and there on the first night it was clear that this is my future life. I realized it watching out of the window over Lake Zurich, beautiful sunset in a beautiful old friary. That was great. I then also lived with the Benedictines, so with monks, and finally with the Franciscans in Switzerland. So I looked at three orders, and the Franciscans in Switzerland are a very young order. We are small, but we are growing. We are even thinking about opening a friary in a time in which most monasteries and friaries shut down institutions. And they showed me that they liked me and wanted me, and I liked the brothers there. And so I jumped. I took a risk. I gave everything I had away. I left my well-paid job and went into postulancy in Austria, because Switzerland is attached to the bigger Austrian province. And that's then, I finished the first year, and then it was clear I would go to Ireland for the international novitiate to continue my career as a friar.
Wow, that's very impressive. Was it difficult to give away all your possessions and sort of your connections and your career?
That's also a good question. It was definitely hard to throw things away, like books. Stores wouldn't take old books. But yeah, I've had them for 30 or even more years, and now they just went to recycling. That hurt. But it was also getting freedom, especially with the money. I had almost 2,000 clothing items and shoes, way too many things I bought. And I gave them to homeless shelters and other social charity institutions. Some of them also to my teacher friends and my relatives if they could use them. So it really felt freeing, becoming free of possession, maybe also free of the capitalistic system, of the social pressure. So no, I haven't regretted it for one single second.
That's amazing. I'm wondering, coming over on the plane, I'm guessing you didn't have to check a lot of bags.
Yeah, for 1 year I need to take some stuff with us. It could be less even. Yeah, I kept, of course, a few clothes and shoes, and I needed to bring hiking shoes. I needed to bring typically Franciscan, the sandals, but also sport shoes and shoes that I wear inside of the friary. So yeah, some things you have to bring, also some books, of course. And then, okay, winter is not as cold in Ireland as in Switzerland, and summer not as hot, but I didn't know, so I brought clothes for all the seasons, and of course two habits, our brown cloak that I had to bring with me. But yeah, it was a backpack and a suitcase, but that's basically everything I own.
That's amazing. Do you just wear your habit within the friary, or if you're going out for a hike in the Killarney National Park, do you change into civilian clothes?
No, we in Switzerland, and also the other novice who is from Austria, we always wear the habit, and so we also wear our habits always in Ireland, because people then talk to you. Sometimes it's people with social or psychological problems. Sometimes it's tourists. Sometimes it's people that come to worship at our friary. But everyone likes to talk to you. And I really appreciate that, because I think one of the most important things in these days is to listen to people. I think too many people talk, also very loudly, especially on social media, but there's not enough listening. And the habit clearly helps, because they know what to expect. They know that we have a vow of poverty, that we cannot give money, but we always have a ready and open ear for people. In Ireland, when talking to the older friars, they often would go to town without wearing their habit. They only wear it at church and inside the friary. I think younger friars go the other way again and like to be seen in their habit and see it as a piece of their identity, I would say.
That's fascinating. And you're definitely correct that people need to listen more and maybe need to talk less, especially on social media. You're very right about that. Could you sort of tell me about your standard day? Like, what do you do from when you wake up? And I guess, when do you wake up? I imagine it's quite early.
Compared to Switzerland and Austria last year, it's late here. We have the first part of the liturgy of the hours, the office of reading. We have that at 7:15. Afterwards, we go to Mass at 8. We serve there, of course, as novices. Then we have breakfast, and the morning prayer is at 9:15, followed by meditation. On a normal day, we have class from 10 to 12:15 with guest speakers coming from all over Europe, and together also with Anthony, our novice master here, our boss, basically. In the afternoon, we have lunch at 1. Of course, first a prayer again before lunch. So 5 times a day we pray together in the oratory. After lunch, there's a very short break, and then we go out to the garden to work. In the evening, it's again half an hour of meditation, followed by evening prayer, then dinner, and later 8 o'clock night prayer. And then usually we go to bed at that time, or go to our room at least. 2 times per week we meet in what we call recreation, having a drink and a bit of chocolate together, and of course exchanging our opinions with the brothers. On the weekend then, of course, it's busy with all the Sunday masses, but we often on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon we meet refugees from Killarney, from Ukraine and Pakistan, either to play soccer with them or go to the national park, go for hikes. So we have also, the ties have become very close with them.
And you're obviously in a fantastic location in Killarney to be able to go for hikes. I imagine you could pick a different hiking trail every day and still not see all of them in the year you're here.
As a Swiss, I missed my skiing, but we even climbed Mount Karen Two Hill after Christmas. So there was snow on top, so I didn't feel homesick. But yeah, I love hiking. I think all Swiss people love hiking, and Ireland is a beautiful country. Nature is amazing. And yeah, I can spend days in nature, just going for a hike, walking around and listening to the sounds, of the animals and of the plants.
If anybody listening likes the sound of becoming a friar, what advice would you give to them?
If someone wants to become a friar, definitely talk to the vocations director, the person responsible for vocations of the Irish friars. They can give you all the information. They will come to you to see you and talk to you. And then probably takes a time to discern, to think about it. Also, are you ready to leave your old life? For me, it took 17 years. So I'm 44 now. So I started with age 42. I changed my life. Some start much earlier, some even a little bit later. But yeah, the friars need new people. They need good people. They need religious people. And if you're not into riches and wealth, if you prefer a simple lifestyle, also friendly towards Mother Nature, then you should try it out. There's always, of course, once you talk to the vocation director, there's the possibility to live in a friar. priory just for a weekend and maybe a bit later for a week to get to know our lifestyle, to get to know the brothers.
Okay, so like a kind of a trial period.
Yes.
I'm amazed actually that you are older than me, because when we met, I thought you were significantly younger than me. So the lifestyle obviously appeals to you very well.
If you look at my gray hair, I feel pretty old sometimes getting up in the morning. After teaching for more than half of my life, yeah, it's a big step, a complete change of life, but I haven't regretted it for the last 2 years. For me, it was also very important, and that's why I didn't become a monk, staying at one place for the rest of my life, because I've always loved traveling, and I've loved even more to live in other countries. I lived in Australia, I lived in America, where I was teaching at a high school, I lived in Russia, last year in Austria, now in Ireland. So the Franciscans, yeah, offered me this possibility that I could live in various countries of the world again, and this was very appealing to me.
Will you live in one place only forever now? Will you move every year, every time you're in a different place?
Ideally, friars move every 3 years to another friary. But then it depends. Not everyone goes abroad, goes to distant countries. For me, when I go back in 5 weeks, back to Switzerland, I will probably stay there for half a year and then go to Austria to study again. At the moment, it looks like social work. Of course, I will also do a course in basic theology. And I hope they are still checking that I can go to cooking school, because that's one of my passions also. So social work, yeah, working with mentally handicapped people, with addicts, with alcoholics. I think that's where my vocation lies within the friars. But I hope that I can do gardening and cooking also, so that there's a balance in my life. Yeah,
that's a wonderful ambition. So well done. That seems like a great pursuit. Brother Florian, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, David.
This is the Friary Folk Group with Untashiri. After the break, we talk about Meals on Wheels.